Today we're in Matthew chapter 10, and in verse 8, where we read, "Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." And what you have in the context is Jesus calling his 12 disciples to him and giving them special power and sending them out to preach. We know that in the early church, the apostles and some of the disciples were given special, extraordinary, temporary sign gifts, the ability to work miracles, and that's the case here. And they're being given these things in order to be able to do the work of the gospel and to represent Christ and to preach him, in this case, to the nation of Israel. But what I want to look at this morning is that phrase, "Freely you have received." Now, there are a number of words found in the Old and New Testaments that are translated freely in our English Bible. One of these in the Old Testament means willing, spontaneous, voluntary. It's often used of the attitude of those who gave gifts and offered sacrifices to God. They did it freely. Then it means to be of a ready and bountiful mind to give. To offer freely, spontaneously, voluntarily. To be not sparing, but to give with a large hand or to give abundantly. Let's look at a few examples of that. Back in 1 Chronicles 29, David is preparing for the building of the temple, which was accomplished by Solomon, and he's collecting materials for that project. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 9. "Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy." Verse 14, he's praying. "But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." Then verse 17, "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and has pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee." So here you have that word, offering willingly. Ezra, chapter 2. Now you have the people returning from Babylonian captivity to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed by the Babylonians. And as they are preparing to build this second temple, we read in verse 68, "Some of the chief of the fathers, when they came to the house of the Lord, which is at Jerusalem, offered freely," there's that word again, "for the house of God to set it up in his place." When a people have a love for the Lord and a love for his work, and they are willing to do anything to see that work prosper and go forward, they become very spontaneous, very willing, very generous to give to that. Now there's another time this word is used in Psalm 54. Where David tells God what he would do because of God's blessing and protection and deliverance in his life. "I will freely sacrifice unto thee, most gladly and most abundantly. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good." Then one more place, Psalm 68, to see another meaning of this word. Remember, it meant not just to give, but to give abundantly. Psalm 68 in verse 9. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. That word plentiful is that word freely. It means copious. Much rain. And that tells us why it is that God loves a cheerful and generous giver. Why? Because such giving reflects his own heart and hand. God is that way. 2 Corinthians 9 tells us this. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, 7, and 8. But this I say, Paul writes, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. That's the opposite of freely. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Now this is a very important point. How can I have that kind of a heart and hand? By God's grace. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And he says, in this work also, this work of giving toward God's cause. Now, even though in the Old Testament these are called free will offerings, they are not given by the power of man's natural and unaided free will, so-called. But they are given willingly or voluntarily. How? By the regenerated and actuated, renewed will of the child of God, who is indwelt and enabled by the Spirit of God for such giving. Psalm 110 tells us how it is that people do what God wants. Psalm 110, verse 3, thy people shall be willing, how? When? In the day of thy power. God's power makes them willing. It's God who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. In the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. God enables by his grace. God gives us his Spirit freely as his people. Notice what he's reading Psalm 51 in verse 12. Psalm 51, verse 12. David, after his fall, praying for restoration, says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. How would David continue in the ways of God and not have such a terrible fall again? God would uphold him. How? With his free spirit. God gives his spirit freely to his people. He gives his spirit abundantly to his people. Titus 3. Verses 5 and 6, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. He gives his Spirit freely, he gives him abundantly. Peter said this in Acts 10 regarding the Gentiles who had come to faith. Acts 10 and verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out in abundance the gift of the Holy Ghost. He's a free spirit in that God gives him freely and abundantly, but he's also a free spirit in that he gives us freedom. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He sets us free. How? The Spirit of God frees us from the dominion of sin and selfishness, and He enables us to willingly live in wholehearted obedience to God. Now, in the New Testament, one word that is translated freely means to bestow a gift freely or gratuitously, gratis, for nothing, to give it free of charge, without cause. In other words, there's no obligation to give it, and without cost. You can't earn it or work for it. That's the same word as we just read in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Freely you have received, freely give. Another word in the New Testament means to give grace, to show favor or kindness. It also means to freely forgive. Now, what I want to do is look at some of the things that are freely given to us by God. And the first one is found in Hosea chapter 14, verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. From who? The backslider. God says, I will love the backsliders. In other words, God's love is free in the sense that it is unconditional. God loves his people because he loves them. There is no cause or merit or desert or worthiness in them that is the reason for his loving them. Matter of fact, just the opposite. We have nothing but demerit, guilt. You know, and God commendeth his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us as sinners, not as good people. He makes us good people, but he doesn't wait for us to become good people to love us. God eternally set his love upon us and chose us according to his own good pleasure. Before we existed, before we had done anything. He says, Behold, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. He sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. When we were enemies, he reconciled us to himself by the death of his Son. That's free love. If we weren't sinners, God could not savingly love us because we wouldn't need salvation. It's as sinners he loves us. Even though as sinners there's nothing in us for God to love. He hates sin and sinners. But for Christ's sake, and according to his own good purpose and grace, given us in Christ before the world began, he loves us and saves us. And now we love him because he first loved us. The second thing I want to look at is in 1 Corinthians 2. verse 11 and 12 and 14. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we know that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We believers have been freely given us by God these things that the Spirit of God reveals to us and enables us to know. But, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. God gives us His Spirit, who savingly illuminates us to be able to understand and receive in faith the things of God, the precious truths of Christ and the gospel. He brings us from having not the Spirit, being sensual and being without understanding, to having a good, right understanding of Himself. He says, he's that spiritual judges or discerns all things in verse 15. He brings us from our spiritual darkness into His marvelous light, so that we can receive Christ and all that God gives us in Him. He has given us an understanding so that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. A third thing God freely gives us, Luke chapter 7. Verse 42. Jesus tells about two debtors. One had a great debt, one had a lesser debt. Both in debt. In verse 42 it says, when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave. And that's that word, freely. He frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? God freely forgives our sins. We cannot do a single thing toward the forgiveness of any single sin. It's something God gives freely. And when He says He forgives our sins, what that means is that He cancels our sin debt through the sacrifice of Christ, so that we will never be charged for our sins and suffer the punishment that they deserve at the hand of God. Christ suffered that for us. And so now He freely forgives those who come to Him through Christ. Isaiah 55. Is God stingy with His forgiveness? Is He niggardly with His forgiveness? Does He hold it back? Do we have to try to pry it from Him? Does He stint His forgiveness? No. Notice what Isaiah 55 verse 7 says. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Abundant pardon. All-inclusive pardon. Colossians 2:13 says that He has forgiven us all our iniquities, all our transgressions. Complete, eternal, irrevocable forgiveness. Well, that cancels out our debt, but we need something else. Romans 3:24. in order to stand before a holy and righteous and just God, we need a perfect righteousness that meets all His demands. A righteousness without flaw or defect. Well, Romans 3:24 says that we are being justified freely. By His grace, through the redemption, the death and bloodshedding of Christ on the cross, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justification is a judicial act of God. God gives us a right standing with Himself by imputing the righteousness of Christ to us when we believe. We have no righteousness. There's none righteous, no, not one. God freely bestows and abundantly bestows on us the righteousness we need to be accepted with Him. Romans 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace were justified freely by His grace, by His abundant grace. They who receive that abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. What righteousness is it? Verse 22 of chapter 3, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The righteousness He demands, that He requires, that we owe Him, was provided for us by Christ. He covers us in the robe of righteousness, His own perfect righteousness that He wrought out for us by His obedience while He was on this earth. And we do not by our own works add even one stitch to the robe of Christ's righteousness. If we did, that would make it imperfect and we would be lost. We have to trust in what He did completely and not in ourselves and what we can do. All right, one more, Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, gave Christ up to death on the cross for His people, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God gave us the most. He gave us the best. He gave us His own beloved Son. And now, in and through His Son, God gives us all things needful to our salvation, both in this world and in the world to come. 2 Peter chapter 1. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. He's given us all things for this life and the life to come. And that's why Paul says that we should trust in the living God who gives us richly all good things to enjoy. He gives freely. He gives abundantly. I want to look at another. Revelation 21. And verse 6. And He said unto me, it is done. I am an Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst those who recognize their need and desire that need to be satisfied, here likened to thirst, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now you'd think water would be a free commodity, but it's not. You have to pay your water bill. But God gives the water of life. God gives us eternal life freely in, through, and by his Son. Remember when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4? Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, he refers to himself and what he had come to give us as the gift of God. And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Living water. Water of life. Verse 13. When she asked for the water and how he could get it, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. An abundance of sweet, cool, refreshing water to slake the thirst of our souls. Like he said, it will be in him like rivers of living water. And that's how he referred to the life he gives in John chapter 10. He gives abundant life. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and not barely have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And again, God in his giving is free and abundant. And it's all by his wonderful grace. Now, what should be our response to these things? First of all, Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. He says, if you want the water of life, come to me. And when we receive Christ, we receive all these things that I've been talking about, because they're all found in him. He that has the Son has life. He says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I will give to him that's athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. So now come and take of that water of life freely. Drink abundantly, as he says, even to the satisfaction, eternal satisfaction of your soul. Receive God's salvation in Christ for yourself. Second thing we should do is in Psalm 119, 108. David prays, accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. Lord, I'm going to give you offerings, free will offerings, the offerings of my mouth. We need to do that by offering praise to God for his free grace to us, so abundantly given in Christ. Next thing we should do is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 7, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Well, how did he base himself to exalt the Corinthians? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. Now, of course, in a restricted sense, he didn't charge for his services because he didn't want them to think he was mercenary doing it for his own enrichment. That wouldn't be a stumbling block to the Corinthians as he was seeking to win them to Christ. But what he was saying was, I gave you the gospel gladly, voluntarily, spontaneously, and copiously, abundantly. I just poured out myself and told you all things necessary for you to know the Lord. And that's what we should be doing. Freely giving. Freely you have received. If you've believed in Christ and have been saved by Him, it's because you heard the gospel and He worked faith in your heart. Now, freely give. Tell to others the gospel of salvation so they too can come to know the Lord through your witness. One last one, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Freely you have received. Why did I receive it and not someone else? Well, God's sovereign choice, of course. But what's he say? For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? God has given you His Son. He's given you salvation in Him. He's given you His free, abundant grace, and He did it freely. Don't rob Him of the glory of that. Make sure you give Him the glory for that. Give to God the glory for all the things He's done for us and given to us by Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 15, for all things are for your sakes. Isn't that wonderful? Everything is for our benefit, our good. That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, those who receive the grace and express their thanksgiving by their lips and by their lives, it redounds to the glory of God. That's the ultimate end and goal of what God has done and freely given to us. Freely you have received, freely give God all the praise. We'll close in prayer.